More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, stuck in a rut. Feeling stuck, drained, or like you've lost your spark? You might be dealing with burnout. We'll help you rediscover your energy and passion. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're stuck in a rut. Mm. Well, not Lisa and I. We're great. We're happy to be here. We're excited to go. But if you're stuck in a rut, we want to help you stop feeling stuck, drained, or like you've lost your spark. We're talking about burnout today on More to Life. What is it? Where does it come from? More importantly, what can we do about it? And the fact is, we can be burned out in a task or a relationship.
Oh, yes. And most people don't think of burnout in a relationship. And unfortunately, the world has taught us that when we are burned out in a relationship, that means we have to hightail it out of there. You know, it's not working, it's not good for us, so we're gone. And that's not necessarily the case in a lot of relationships. Either we can't, we shouldn't, or we're just responding to the burnout instead of what we can really be doing to make this all better.
Yeah, so tell us, is there some task or even a relationship that you feel like you're getting less and less out of the harder you work at it? Maybe you've noticed yourself pulling back a bit, going through the motions in some area of your life, whether that, again, is some job or role or relationship. For that matter, maybe someone you care about seems to have lost their motivation for their job, for school, for their relationship with you, heaven forbid. And you're not sure what you can do about it. Well, however burnout is affecting your life, let us help. 877-573-7825. We want to help you rediscover your energy and passion for all the parts of the life God wants you to live. 877-573-7825.
Now, one of the things that everybody tells us we need to overcome that feeling of burnout, sometimes we think it's depression, exhaustion. There's a lot that it can be or that it masks itself as. But the message is always, you'll be fine after your vacation. Just go on a vacation, take some time away from everything, and you'll be great. And that can work for a week or so.
Well, it works as long as we're away.
A little bit better. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But as soon as you come back and you're back at your life the way it is, the tasks the way you approach them, the people the way you approach each other and deal with each other, it comes back. That's why a lot of people, like, on the way home from a vacation, just their feelings just sink. It's like, oh, I don't want to go back. Now, we all would love to stay on vacation forever.
There's a little bit of that for everybody.
Right? Yeah, there's just the, I would love to never worry about anything and not have to work and not have to deal with things, and this would be blissful.
But I think everybody knows the difference, you know. That
I'm just putting it out there in case it sounds like we don't.
No. I think it's an important distinction to make. You're absolutely right. But I think you can tell the difference, right? Between where it's just the kind of, oh, I wish I could stay on vacation, and the, oh, I wish I'd never have to come back. You know, I mean, there's a very, very different thing. And you know, the other, I guess, piece of this that kind of you brought up, you know, the question of how do you tell the difference between burnout and depression?
Yes.
Well, burnout tends to be localized to a specific role or relationship. So that, you know, and sometimes, you know, if that role is big, you know, like my career or being a mom or a parent or something, that can feel huge. But still, it's localized to that particular area. Depression is more global. It really kind of sucks the joy and meaning out of everything.
Everything. And unfortunately, sometimes when we don't address the burnout in our lives, it can eventually lead into that. Okay. So it's something that's important to not just blow off because the word doesn't sound or the phrase doesn't sound heavy enough to be important. And we're thinking, well, here we are, you know, believers in the Lord, and he laid everything out for us, and he suffered for us, so who am I to get burned out? Who am I to get exhausted by this relationship or this thing that I have to do in life?
Look what Jesus went through.
I'm just going to offer it up. Yeah. Well, the evil one wants us to just offer it up in a not real way. We'll get to what that really means in a second. But he wants us to do that so it can build and build and build and move toward depression or broken relationships and things in our lives.
Yeah, so since you brought it up, I mean, offering it up doesn't mean, isn't the Catholic way of saying, suck it up, buttercup. No, really, I mean, that's how people take it, right? Tell me I'm not right.
No, you're right. It just surprised me.
Yeah. No, I know it's funny, but it's like that's what people take it to mean. You know, when you say, well, you just have to offer it up. That what Catholics understand that to mean is suck it up, buttercup. That's not what it means. What it means is bring it to the Lord and ask for his help to learn how to respond to that thing in a way that enables you to be your best self and to work for the good of the situation. That's a very different interpretation than what most of us have kind of heard
from aunts, whatever, and people at Catholic school and stuff like that.
But that's what offering it up means. Offering it up doesn't mean just plow through and keep getting more and more miserable, because the more miserable you are, the more like Christ you become. That's not it at all. But we do find ourselves in that place sometimes. So give us a call, 877-573-7825. Today's show titled Stuck in a Rut. As we talk about feeling stuck, drained, or like we've lost our spark in at least some part of our life or a relationship, whether it is your job or your role or a particular person that you feel like you're getting less and less out of being around it or them, the harder you work on the relationship or the job or the role, let us help you get your spark back. 877-573-7825.
And that also applies to if you're seeing this in somebody's life, there's somebody you care about, and you can tell they're just continuing the stuff they have to do, and they're pushing through, and you're seeing them lose their light, their spark, their interest in life, their strength at all. They're just exhausted, and they don't seem to be able to leave that task or that situation with somebody and then enjoy their lives and all the gifts that God has given them, because they're just burning out and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to help. Do you bring it up? If you do, well, then what? We're here to help you today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. You know, and it's a fair question to ask, how is some theology going to help me deal with burnout? Well, the answer, of course, is that it does a lot, because St. John Paul asked a huge question when he was Pope. Basically, he said, if we take everything God's given us, you know, creation, scripture, salvation, history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living an abundant life and having healthy, holy relationships?
And the theology of the body actually reminds us that before the fall, the work that Adam and Eve did in the garden was joyful. It had purpose, and it bore good fruit. Now, after the fall, that very same work became toil, thankless, repetitive, draining. It became harder to see the purpose behind their efforts or the point of it all. How often do we feel that way? Psychologists call this burnout. Think of burnout as effort minus the meaning. It's the feeling we get whenever we keep pouring ourselves out into a task, or even, as we were saying, a relationship, that we feel like we're getting less and less out of it.
You know, and people tend to assume that burnout is the result of doing too much. So the cure for burnout would seem to be do less. you know, we start taking more breaks and cutting corners, maybe stepping away for a bit or avoiding the harder aspects of that task or relationship, and that can be fine for a little while. But if it becomes a habit, that actually increases burnout, because making even less effort produces even less fruit, which makes what we're doing seem even more pointless.
That's really interesting. Ironically, the cure for burnout is to bring more of yourself to what you're doing, but approach it differently and expect to get more out of it. Burnout can actually be a sign that you're starting to settle. And God doesn't want you grinding your way through a life He meant for you to be a gift. Ultimately, the feeling of burnout is an invitation to step back and to reconnect with why you're doing this in the first place.
So when you're feeling burned out, instead of asking, how do I get through this faster, maybe take a moment to pray. Lord, how do you want me to approach this? Show me how what I'm doing can make a difference, and what you want me to get out of this. You know, then bring a little more of yourself to it. You know, a little more creativity, a little more heart. You know, ask what might make it more meaningful for you again, and work toward that. You know, when we stop going through the motions and clarify what we need to get out of the task or relationship to make it seem worthwhile and work toward that, God's grace pours the purpose and the joy right back into whatever we're doing. That's what we want to help you do today on More to Life. Our show is on burnout. Stuck in a Rut is the title. And we are helping you get out of feeling stuck, drained, or like you've lost your spark in some aspect of your life or relationships, whether it's your work, your role, or your dealings with a particular person that's got you feeling a little burned out. We are here to help. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring to you all the different tasks and relationships that we have, and we ask you to help us to be able to work at them in ways that produce good fruit, that enable us to connect with the meaning and the purpose and the joy of doing those things. And in those relationships or roles where we are struggling and feeling burned out, we ask you to help us step back, to respond to those challenges or people in ways, though, that bring out the best in us, that enable us to work for their good and for the good of the relationship or the good of those affected by the work that we do, so that we can reconnect with that sense of meaning and purpose and experience the joy that comes from living in your grace. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Stuck in a Rut, as we talk about burnout and how to overcome it.
877-573-7825. Let's talk now with Anita, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Anita, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Can you hear me?
We can. What's going on?
Oh, okay. I have you on the radio, so I wasn't sure if like, it was going to like double over.
Yeah, if you turn that down, you'll be able to hear us through your phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I can hear you. I just was concerned that you couldn't hear me.
There'll be a delay. It'll freak you out. So go ahead and turn it down.
So what's your question, Anita?
My question is, my husband has, I've known him for over 20 years and have known some of his cycles that he goes through, of course, you know, like married people do. And every couple of months, it's always like, something will happen that, you know, might be, not that it's not, to me, I say it's not really a big deal, but of course I'm not him. He is like he gets shell-shocked by it, but it seems like there's a buildup, and then he goes into this like tailspin of like depression, and, you know, he's burnt out, and like, you know, he will constantly say that. And you guys were discussing earlier, like, you know, when it's beyond, let's just go on a vacation, you need to just get away. I know from a wife's heart that there's way more going on underneath the surface. And the thing is, I know what a lot of those things are, but I feel like if I talk about it in certain ways, I'm kind of being like a therapist and like his mother, when I don't want to be that. but how can I be as a wife supportive for some of the things that I know that he needs to address?
And you mentioned to our screener that that a complication here is that he tends to blame you in those times when he's feeling that way. Is that fair?
He'll say you're not being like, because we have an 8-year-old son and he is autistic. He's a lot of there's a lot of care that he requires.
Sure.
I'm running around with him a lot.
Okay.
So I think that sometimes maybe he feels like I'm not giving him enough time to listen, you know? Or, if it's in that moment, then, you know, you're just not, you just don't care about me. You want to put me off, like, to someone else as a problem. Because his doctor recommended maybe he sees a therapist. And
okay.
I agreed, because in his job, it's a very high-pressure situation a lot, and I think that it would really make sense for him to talk to someone. But now he's blaming me, saying that, well, I'm just putting him, I just don't want to deal with him. When that's not the case, I just don't feel like I'm equipped to deal with some of the things.
Right. No, that's all fair. So your question then is, how do you support him?
How do I, in a useful way, I have been raised a Catholic, but about 10 years ago, I recommitted myself and, you know, understood.
Right, so how can, I'm going to jump in just because of the sake of time. You want to know, how can you be a faithful, good Catholic wife and support your husband whenever he's going into these kind of emotional places? And that's a terrific question. And thank you. I apologize for jumping in, but otherwise I wouldn't have had time to give you anything before the break. So there are a couple of things to keep in mind here. First of all, I think it's reasonable, you know, you guys have a lot on your plate, you know, with a son with disabilities that requires a lot of care and a lot of attention, and that puts a large strain on marriage. In fact, not to scare you, almost 80% of couples who are in your situation go through divorce. You know, so the fact that you guys are hanging in there through all this and being there for each other as best as you can and being there for your child as best as you can is a real testament to the strength that you have and the grace that you got. Now, that said, I think it's helpful at various times to kind of check in and say, you know, how are we taking care of each other? What do we need from each other? How can we make sure that we're attending to our son's needs, but also trying to at least be mindful of each other's needs? You know, sometimes it's very hard for parents to meet their individual or relationship needs whenever you're there, you're caring for a child with disabilities or who's ill. And so we do sometimes have to put that on the back burner. But if we can keep that conversation open and say, well, what do we need? What do we need to feel closer to each other today? What do we need to try to take better care of each other? What's one small thing we could each do to try to say, I've got your back today, or that I'm here for you today? And at first, you know, there's a tendency to just say, well, I don't know, and just breeze on through. But don't let yourself get away with that. Really be asking that question every day. What's one small thing that each of us could do to try to take care of each other, to show up for each other, to make a little time for each other today? And I'm saying that because it is important for your husband to get professional help, but he's also saying, hey, I don't know where I fit in here, you know, and that's, you don't know where you fit in either, right? So I'm not saying you're neglecting him. I'm saying that it's very hard for parents in general to make the time for their marriage, but for parents of a child with a disability to make time for their relationship is 10 times harder. So having that conversation every day where you can both sort of say, how can we show up better for each other? So that addresses the top level concern about, you know, you fobbing him off on a therapist. So if you're making that conversation happen every day and you're carving out time, and then he accuses you of saying, you just want to get rid... No, I don't. We're making time every day. We've really made this commitment to this habit of trying to show up for each other, try to make a little time for each other every day. I'm here for you, but there are certain things that I cannot help you with, that you need to go seek help for. And you can bring those things up. You want to be careful not to bring it up as a lecture, but to be able to say, you know, how do you think X is affecting you? Have you thought about how Y might be a factor in this? You don't have the skills to have the conversation, but you bring it up, and then whenever he bats it out of the air, it's well, that's, honey, why I need you to talk to a counselor, because you don't want to deal with those things, and I don't know how to help you with those things. Even though we're making time for each other, and we're trying to be mindful of each other's needs, and I'm trying to show up for you in ways that you know, we haven't shown up for each other in the past, you're still going in this hole, and there's stuff that you need to get that I can't give you. So that's why I'm taking this approach, right? So you meet the immediate need, but then you also use that as, if you will, leverage to say, but you need more support than I can give you. And then you kind of hold up the things that you're concerned with as an example of this is the kind of thing that you need to deal with. And you keep up the pressure because even if he gets upset, it's our job as husbands and wives to work for each other's good, even when that's hard. And even when that involves some suffering on our part. I got to go to break with that, but I hope that that'll give you some tips to get started. I'm going to encourage you to also check out our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, which really talks about how to have these kinds of direct conversations with our spouse. And also you can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com if you're looking for more personalized support for you or your husband or your relationship. Thanks for the call. We got to go to break. When we come back, more with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup, who'll share some insights from the theology of the body on beating burnout. Stick around.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Are you struggling with a persistent emotional or relationship problem? Maybe those thoughts and feelings won't leave you alone, or your marriage has grown distant, or a wound from your past still aches. Too many of us tell us that we should be able to handle it alone, or that good Catholics shouldn't need help. That's not true. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. My team of pastoral counselors will help you find solutions rooted in solid psychology and our Catholic faith, so you don't have to choose between getting real help and staying true to what you believe. Visit CatholicCounselors.com and discover how we can help your faith, life, and relationships flourish.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, Stuck in a Rut, we talk about burnout. You know, burnout can affect us in our relationships or in our roles or work. We want to help you get your spark back. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference. She's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body, and she's going to share some insights from the theology of the body on how to beat burnout. Hey, Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here with you guys.
So you were hearing some of the things we were sharing earlier in the show about, you know, beating burnout, and then you wanted to offer some of your own reflections from the theology of the body on how to kind of get that spark back.
Sure. Well, I was thinking about, you know, what you were saying regarding the, you know, meaning and getting back the meaning and looking at that. And so I was just thinking about the fact that in, you know, theology of the body, the whole paradigm is one of gift, right? That, you know, in the beginning, Adam first received creation and he received Eve from God as a gift, and that's when he was inspired to give back. You know, that was the meaning of life, is that, and it's the meaning of life really for all of us, is to love. But it was initiated first and inspired from him first receiving God's gift. And so I was thinking, you know, if we're looking at the different situations in our lives, whether it's a work situation or volunteering or a relationship, one of the things that we can do is look, you know, where is the gift in this? And sometimes it might be hard to see, right? But, like, you know, what is God doing in my life through this? You know, what is the gift? And the second thing I was thinking about as well is you were talking about bringing the creativity, you know, more of ourselves to the situation. And so, and sometimes that might just take some time to sit and reflect, have some silence, listen to to God, you know, what he's saying. But like, think about, okay, what really does give me joy? What gives me delight? You know, why did I start doing this in the first place? And, you know, how can this unique, I can bring my unique gifts to the situation, and that can really help us, you know, see the meaning and find the meaning and hopefully take care of some of the burnout feeling.
As you're bringing this up, I'm reminded of a quote I saw. I wish I knew who said it. It was just one of those things that kind of flipped by as I was scrolling, whatever. But it was profound, and it touches really on your point here. It says, we should never forget the privilege of being exhausted by the things we once begged God to allow us to do.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, that really hits home. I mean, that's not to say that we deny the exhaustion or the needs that we might be having, but it goes back to what you're talking about. You know, stepping away for a little bit and reflecting on, you know, why did I want to do this? Why did I used to pray for this and beg God to allow me to do this? And how do I reconnect with some of that meaning that somehow got lost in all the busyness?
No, and I know it's even with marriages, people say, you know, if you're feeling burnout, you know what, think about, okay, why did we first fall in love with each other? You know, like think back to that. And I think you can apply that to other situations as well.
Well, Anastasia, I want to thank you for being with us. You wanted to talk a little bit about an upcoming retreat, the Four Catholic Singles. Tell us about that.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm excited because we just opened registration for our retreat, which is happening. It's happening in the fall, but I think it's going to fill up quickly. So it's November 12th to the 15th. It's actually three nights there, and it's out in Pennsylvania in the Rolling Hills. Definitely a time to get away. If you're feeling burned out, it's a good time to also you know, be refreshed and inspired and connect with other people who are also single. So if you're single and Catholic,
so call it All Catholic Singles. Go to nationalcatholicsingles.com to learn more about the upcoming retreat and register soon. It'll close out early. All right, thanks, Anastasia. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. If you are stuck in a rut, need to get over burnout, let us help. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
How do the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, fit into our prayer? The Catholic Catechism says we enter into prayer as we enter into liturgy through the narrow gate of faith. We seek and desire the face of the Lord. It is His word we wish to hear and keep. The Holy Spirit instructs us to celebrate the liturgy in expectation of Jesus' return and teaches us to pray in hope. Hope is nourished in us by the prayer of the Church and personal prayer. The Psalms, especially through their concrete and varied language, teach us to fix our hope in God. Love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Prayer formed by the liturgical life draws everything into Christ's love for us, which enables us to respond to Him by loving as He loved us. Love is the source of prayer. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism. May the good Lord bless you.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that His flesh is true food and His blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire His blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at His word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Do you ever feel like you're giving and giving in your relationships, but nobody's giving back? Like you've become so focused on keeping everyone else happy that you've lost track of who you are and what you need? In my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, I share how a common cause of anxiety is when we become the person who attends to others' needs in a way that never lets us meet or even acknowledge our own. The anxiety that comes with that is actually the Holy Spirit speaking through our bodies saying, "You matter to me. Stop willing yourself out of existence to earn other people's love." The thing is, people pleasing isn't generosity.
It's fear wearing a generous mask. St. John Paul said that real Christian love is characterized by mutual self-giving, where everyone in the relationship gives everything they can to show up for each other so that each person can be fully generous without anyone burning out. That's what Trinitarian love looks like, and living out that love in our relationships is part of what it means to be made in the image and likeness of God. To learn more about how to celebrate the kind of authentic Christian love in all of your relationships and enjoy the peace that comes along with it, check out Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Stuck in a Rut. Talking about feeling stuck, drained, or like you've lost your spark in some part of your life, or even a relationship. That's called burnout. When we experience effort minus meaning, the harder we work at something, the less we get out of it, and the more demoralized we become. Let us help you get your energy and passion and spark back. 877-573-7825.
Greg, we have a question that came in from Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. She says, I'm a stay-at-home mom of four, and I love my kids. I really do. But somewhere in the last year, I stopped feeling much of anything about any of it. I get up. I do the routine. I get everybody where they need to be. And by the afternoon, I'm just done. Not even mad. Just empty. My husband asked me the other night what I wanted to do for my birthday. And I honestly couldn't think of a single thing that sounded good. That scared me a little. I keep telling myself I should snap out of it because this is the life I prayed for. How do I get back to actually feeling present in my own life instead of just clocking through it? And that's Teresa in Ohio. What an amazing question.
Yeah, it's
an important one.
Terrific question. And, you know, and I appreciate you kind of referencing the thing I said over the, well, in Anastasia's question about
yeah,
how,
that
know,
must
what a privilege
question.
It is to be exhausted by the thing we once begged God to allow us to do. And so, I mean, I feel like that struck a chord, but...
Yes, and it's an important question, but when you're really deep in burnout, it can be a question that just makes you feel guilty.
Yeah, and the point of sharing that wasn't to make anybody feel judged for the feeling burned out at all. So I apologize if that came across. You didn't say that, but I want to make sure that I'm clear about that. Even so, you know, while it's good to remember why we used to beg God to allow us to do this thing that we now feel burned out by, it's also important to acknowledge our own needs and make sure that the way we are doing the thing that God has asked us to do or that we asked God to let us do is actually healthy and good for us. And we often forget that. I'm not saying that being a mom isn't good for you. I'm saying that maybe the way you're approaching your day doesn't take enough of your needs into account. And I'm not suggesting, okay, and as soon as I say that, here's where people go. It's like, oh, so you're saying that I need to go take a bath, or I need to take a walk, or I need to leave my family for a week, or whatever. You know, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, often we will build a life that is not reflective of some set of needs. Often it's our own, but it's at least some set. And we just say, well, this is what we have to accept. This is just the way it is. No, it's the way we made it. And we can make it different through God's grace and a little bit of thought and effort on our part, right? So I'm going to ask you to step back and maybe start talking and praying with your husband every day. You know, Lord, you know, we help us to really get the joy and meaning back in our marriage and family life. You know, and it's okay if he's not aware. You know, if he said, "Well, I'm perfectly happy," but that's okay. He can be part of that prayer too, because he's a big part of helping you get your joy and meaning back in marriage and family life. So you guys should be praying and talking about this together every
For
day,
sure.
Even if you feel like you're the only one in that spot. Okay, he needs to step into that with you. And you're asking, Lord, help us to really find ways to get the joy and the meaning back in daily life, in our marriage, in our family. You know, help us to really see the purpose. See, show us how to do it in a way that gives us joy and to be willing to make what changes we need to make in the way I approach the day, the way we both approach the day, that lets us meet our needs too. Because you do have a right to have those needs met. You know, I talk about this with clients through CatholicCounselors.com a lot, because we have a tendency to think that focusing on our needs at all is selfish. It's not focusing on our needs, it's the way we do it. that determines whether it's selfish or not. Because the fact is, God gave us our needs. You know, this is one of the insights of the theology of the body. We are an embodied creature. And you think, well, duh. Yeah, but here's the thing. We don't act like it. We act like we're spirits.
Exactly. We don't act like it. And when we are... when we're devoted to God, devoted to our faith, we're even more apt to act like we're spirits.
Yeah.
Like our body shouldn't matter because we want to be holy.
Yeah, and there are lots of examples in Catholic spirituality of great saints who, you know, mortified themselves or, you know, you did great sacrifices of their bodies. Saint Francis is a perfect example of that, but he even repented of that at the end of his life. He used to call his
body... That's so important to know. Most people don't know that.
At the end of his life, he apologized to who he called Brother Ass, which was his body.
So still not very kind to himself.
But he apologized for the discipline that he used because he didn't appreciate that God spoke to him through the needs of his body. And so when we need rest or when we need even novelty, a new way to approach a thing, when we need affirmation, any of those things, those are all needs that God wired into our body that we need to listen to. Now, we don't just do it in the whatever way we want and however we feel like it. We bring those needs to God and we bring those needs to the people in our life and we say, hey, how can we build a life that reflects your needs and my needs? What would that look like if we could change things up to really listen to how God is speaking to us through your needs and mine?
And may I add in the needs of the four children? Because what I'm hearing is they're old enough, at least, I'm not hearing that you're, you know, taking care of tiny ones, that what you're doing is driving from thing to thing to thing. We're at a stage right now where you can be looking ahead to next year's school schedule and saying, what do we need to pull back on? Because I'm not getting good, nourishing, happy time with my kids. I'm the driver. I'm the taxi driver. I feel like all I do is drive, you know, around and drop people off
and
sit and wait. And it's depleting and it's exhausting because my mind, my creativity, nothing is being fed when I'm doing that. And so I'm just exhausted. You need to take a look at what you've scheduled your whole family for. And remember to schedule family time first and make sure that's on your calendar every day in some way. It doesn't have to be, you know, 4 hours of family time, but it has to be there in a way that's not just connecting from, you know, the driver's seat of a car to the back seat of a car.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where families feel like they're freaks if they don't enroll their kids in 3,000 activities and never have time to be together. I want to, you didn't sign up. You didn't become a parent so you could just be a chauffeur and a waiter or a rounderer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You became a mom because you wanted to have a relationship with your kids. So have the courage to really prioritize, you know, putting family time first and having real serious conversations about what can we afford, not financially, but time-wise, to let our kids do if we put family time first. Because that's where a lot of meaning comes from. You know, if we talk about burnout being effort minus meaning, meaning comes from connection and relationship.
And I have to say that when we don't get that connection in our relationships, good connection, not just, where did you get your homework done? Where do you have to be tomorrow? Do you have your uniform? When we don't have time to play together, to talk together in any kind of real way, to help each other get stuff done instead of it's just all on you, Teresa as the mom, if we don't have that time to pray about what we're grateful for together and what everybody needs in terms of their life and, you know, and pray for each other, we get drained quickly. And then we don't like our kids and they don't like us because we don't even know who this person is.
It's we're not just all that fond of
roommate.
Ourselves, frankly.
True. Yeah. But we just become like people who share a house. And the house is annoying because it expects too much from us because we're never there and we're always running. And it's just a cycle that depletes so many people, families in general, definitely the parents as well now. But it is something that we can change the dynamic of and say, no, this is where God is calling us to go. And I want to be able to change this in a way that's healthier for me and more beneficial for the whole family.
So that's the question to start praying and talking about. I'm going to encourage you to download the podcast of this show. play the call for your husband and really just sit down together and reflect on everything we're saying, start kind of praying and talking through that. I'm also going to encourage you to sign up for the Catholic Home app.
Very
That's Catholic
idea.
H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. And it's a place where we have a whole framework there that helps families really reflect on what are the habits, the research-based habits, that enable Catholic families to both experience greater than average closeness and connection, and also do a better job of passing the faith on to their kids. This is based on a study that we did of Catholic families that did experience greater than average closeness and did raise all of their children to a faithful adulthood. So this isn't just Lisa and Greg's idea of family life. This is really based on research.
And also there you'll find a really supportive faith-based community of parents who are going through the same kind of stuff. And also, we have a coaching.
Expert coaching throughout
the day. You just, if you come across another question and you're thinking, I just wish I could ask them this right now, you can do that on the question at part of the app. And one of our coaches, usually Greg and I, will get back to you pretty darn quickly.
Yeah, so check it out. If you want that expert parent coaching and tons of creative resources to help you get meaning back in your marriage and family life, because we do talk about marriage as well as relationships with adult kids. So check it out, the Catholic HOM app. Thank you so much for the question, Teresa, and I hope that these suggestions that we've made on the call will be helpful to you. I know that the community at the Catholic HOM app will also be helpful, but don't hesitate to reach out to us again if there's more that we can do to support you. And we're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about burnout today on our show titled Stuck in a Rut. And if you are feeling a little burned out, either in some part of your life or in a relationship or kind of a lot of parts of your life, we're here for you. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day,
which comes from Colossians 2:23. And I've got something I want to share after I read this. Whatever your task, work heartily as serving the Lord and not men. Again, this can make you feel a little guilty and think, okay, now that means I have to work even harder. No, heartily, first of all, means with your whole heart, with a sense of, I'm doing this because I love God. But for many of us, we hear this and we think, God's going to judge me. We suddenly do not have the image of a merciful, loving God who wants to be our best friend and stay in our house and guide us and help us and nurture us. We think, Zeus is going to come down, and if I don't have every corner dusted and every job done perfectly, or I don't get perfect grades, or whatever those things are in our life that we're working heartily toward, that God's going to hit us with a lightning bolt or be mad at us in some way. And I actually saw something on social media the other day that said, you have to get off your duff and get that stuff cleaned up today as though God himself was coming to visit.
Good Lord.
And I thought, God lives in my house. God lives in my heart. And God knows the days I'm doing the best I can and the days I need a little bit more of his grace and Holy Spirit to inspire me to go a little bit further. And he's also the one who says, hey, Lisa, rest is a real thing. So this particular scripture doesn't mean work with all your might and burn yourself out.
No, and going back to your point about heartily,
mm-hmm.
when you do something from the heart,
yes.
you're doing it in love and you're doing it in connection with
right.
others. It's about how do I do this thing in a way that allows me to stay connected to God and the people I'm doing it for. Because as soon as we just start doing tasks at people,
that we can just check off a list to prove that we have a right to exist.
Instead of doing these tasks with and for people, we get burned out because we just all the meaning goes away, all the connection goes away. So working heartily does not mean working hard.
Yeah.
It means working from the heart. Working in a way that allows us to stay connected to God and the people that we're serving in a way that's nourishing to our hearts and theirs. Colossians 2:23, whatever your task, work heartily as serving the Lord and not men. 877-573-7825. More to Life continues with your questions about burnout when we come back. Is there some task or even a relationship that you feel like you're getting less and less out of the harder you work at it? Have you noticed yourself just going through the motions in some area of your life? Or maybe someone you care about seems to have lost their motivation for their job, for school, for their relationship with you, God forbid, and you're just not sure what you can do about it. Well, however burnout is affecting your life, let us help. 877-573-7825. More to Life. Continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it emptied. Boom. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won him. You didn't win him. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Stuck in a Rut, as we talk about burnout, effort minus meaning. That can affect us in any part of our life. It can affect our relationships. We can feel burned out in a particular work or role or with a person. Sometimes people can feel burned out with us. Well, however burnout is affecting you, the people that you love, let us help you get your joy, energy, and passion back. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sean, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan.
Sean, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, Dr. Popchak. I am just really interested in this topic because I recently, last week, terminated a relationship that I had for 10 years with one of my daughter's friends, but over the years it's become increasingly more toxic, and I even talking to her about things and sort of setting boundaries didn't seem to be working, and I just found myself avoiding her more and more often, finding reasons not to be with her, but then intentionally trying to find ways to connect with her, like, you know, meeting for coffee so it could be short visits. But even those became overwhelming.
Can you just share what made them overwhelming? What was she doing that you felt was toxic?
Well, so trying to figure it out, she was, for example, she was very political and social agenda driven, and conversations always turned around to that, and when there was a disagreement, if I voiced any disagreement, it was very aggressive pushback, and I would have to say we just have to agree to disagree, or we would have a conversation, she would say, well, what I think you mean is, and it was consistently those were the kind of interactions we were having, or telling me that I was wrong about a situation. And it just became overwhelming. And then recently telling me a story that she misunderstood about our daughter's friendship, who they're adults, and the spin she put on that about my daughter was not true. I didn't think it was true, but I didn't say anything until I checked with my daughter and told her you should check in with your friend in case there was a misunderstanding. And it wasn't a misunderstanding. It was the mom's take on it. And I thought, this is enough. I cannot do this anymore. I feel relieved, but I am praying for her because I don't think she understands.
And at any time did you say to her something? I mean, you wouldn't have used these words necessarily, but basically what you're saying to me is you didn't really feel like she was willing to listen to you or make space in the relationship for you.
That's true, right?
So, I mean, at any point, did you say anything like that to her?
Yes, I told her at one point that it was difficult to have visits with her because it felt like it was invalidating to me as her friend that I, literally did not get to talk. The last time we got together, she said, we only talked about my trip to El Camino. We didn't even talk about you. And my thoughts were...
And that can happen in any relationship, but when it's always that, when it's never, I want to know you, I want to hear you, I want to make space, as Greg said, for you, that's when it's easy for it to get burned out, because you're not even an active part of it.
So what's your question for us? How can we help you today? Because it sounds like you set some decent boundaries.
Yeah, well, I think that what I struggle with is I'm truly do not believe that there's anything I could do to help her understand. Mm-hmm. And I do feel I have a ton of compassion, and I guess it's just my own struggle. I am a pretty healthy person with boundaries, but I do struggle with, I don't want to hurt anyone. I guess I don't want anyone to be hurt.
Yeah.
But the toll it took on me was too much. So how do I deal with that?
let me give you an image that'll help you. So again, a healthy boundary, basically, and you might want to clarify this with her. You take this to prayer and kind of reflect on this. But a healthy boundary gives a person a healthy way in. So the metaphor I like to use, because it's sort of silly, but it drives the point home, is let's imagine, okay, you're in your house, and this woman that you were friends with loves to climb in your back window. And in doing that, she like knocks over your plants on your windowsill, and she muddies up your carpet, and she's just and you're like, could you please just use the front door? I love seeing you, but if you just please use the front door. And she's like, no, this is my special entrance. We're just besties, and so I should be able to come into your house through the window if I want. And you're like, that's crazy. Just come through the front door like everybody else. I would love to see you anytime. Just please just use the door. And then she doesn't. So what do? You lock the window, maybe even put some bars up in front of it, because you just want to discourage. Now, and then you're like, finally, she'll come through the front door. And then you hear this thump, thump, thump. You're like, what is that noise? Thump, thump. And then you hear a moan, why won't you let me in? And you go to the window, and you see she's beating her head against the bars on your window. And she's saying, you're hurting me because you won't let me come in through my special entrance to your house. What's wrong with you, Sean? How come you can't be a good Christian woman and just understand that this is my special entrance? You would think she was crazy. And you would call the police in that case. But my point is, if you set a boundary that says, hey, look, I want to be around you. Here's how you can be around me in a safe and healthy way. Could you please do that? And the person doesn't do that, that is, any hurt they experience is the equivalent of them beating their head against the bars you put up to protect your relationship. It's from their refusal to walk through the front door. And if you've kind of said to her, hey, look, I would love to be in a relationship with you, but it has to be a two-way street. Like, I don't feel like you make a lot of space for me. And that makes it really hard to be around you. You don't listen, and you don't ask. And so I have to kind of give my time to people who are actually interested in me, too. So if you would like to be in a relationship with me, that's what I need from you. And if you don't, then we can't. Now, maybe if you clearly said that to her, then you've done what you needed to do. And now you just kind of leave that boundary up. And if she ever comes back to you and says, hey, you know what, Sean, I get it. You know, I didn't make space for you in this relationship, and I am really sorry, and I'd love to rekindle our friendship. Well, then you owe it to her to give her a shot. But barring that, you leave the window locked. And if she wants to stand in the backyard and scream and cry about it, that's kind of on her. You didn't hurt her. She's insisting on beating her head against that window instead of walking through the front door that's wide open. So that's how we want to think about the quote-unquote hurt that other people experience when we set a boundary. As long as we've given the person a healthy way forward, if they refuse to walk through it, any hurt they experience, it's really on them. Thanks for the call, Sean. We talk more about this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. And folks, if you are struggling with burnout, or that feeling of loss of meaning and joy in your life or relationships, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.